Now I can talk. Okay. Burgers and hot dogs are great too, but the other thing I've been doing lately is barbecuing an egg. It can be done.
Interesting. Slabs of flesh will be thrown on the grill here and there this weekend, but we wanted to take a second look at the 4th of July feast, so we invited Bryant Terry, chef, author, and eco-activist to join us and reimagine American food on this 4th of July holiday. Bryant Terry, is this a moment to reinvent the food that Americans can eat on this most traditional, patriotic of days?
I certainly think it is, John. You know, I think many Americans are looking for very practical ways of being patriotic. And, you know, I, and as well as many other people across the country, think that one way to do this is by supporting a healthy, just, sustainable food system.
Now, you know, that sounds great. And again, you know, you're in Berkeley, California, so you actually have to say that or you get arrested. But, you know, I was preparing for this interview. I actually went online and looked at traditional recipes from when the 4th of July was traditionally celebrated. I mean, the first celebration was 1777, but in 1801, it was a big White House celebration. And even looking at like a traditional Thanksgiving menus, and most of the dishes are vegetable.
Yeah, and, you know, if we think about what's most healthy and sustainable for all of us, it's a plant-centered diet. And, you know, I'm certainly not advocating that everyone give up meat. You know, I think that's a very personal decision. But I think that we Americans, given that we're one of the most diet-obsessed nations, but also one of the fattest nations, need to reconsider our overconsumption of animal products. And, you know, even when we do consume them, I think we should think about ways that we could support small farmers and artisans that are really supporting a healthy food system and raising animals in a way that's ethical, that's humane, and that's certainly better for the environment and our bodies.
Well, let's take a look at the, you know, contemporary 4th of July menu for a moment. I mean, one of the things that has always been frustrating to me, if you spend all day out at the grill or by the lake or something, you amass an enormous amount of waste. And putting aside the paper plates, which, of course, you know, that's wrong to begin with, what of the food that you typically eat on a 4th of July summer picnic, a weekend picnic, doesn't have to be thrown away?
Well, you know, I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and watermelon is one of these staples that you see throughout the summer, but especially on 4th of July. And so in my latest book, Vegan Soul Kitchen, as a way to help people think about practical ways of being sustainable, I have this whole section called the Zero Waste Watermelon section to show that you can use every edible part of the watermelon and make it taste delicious and feed everyone at the party. So I have some really tasty recipes.
All right, well, let's break it down. Let's do the watermelon autopsy and let's figure out what we do with each part of it. I mean, we've got, of course, the delicious, juicy center. That's easy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everyone eats sliced. That's kind of typical. But one thing I recommend is using creative salts to sprinkle on it. It's a great contrast. So I mix coarse sea salt with basil, with thyme, with rosemary, and just give it a sprinkle. A lot of people don't realize that you can actually use the seeds, toast them, toss them with a little olive oil, some salt and pepper, and you can actually eat the seeds. So that's a great way. For the adults, I have my fresh watermelon vodka martini. I think we have to think about eating healthily and sustainably, but when it comes to the weekends and special gatherings, we need a little spirit sometimes. So that's a great way to kick the weekend off before young people.
Vodka's a great way to recycle potatoes, you know, right? Is that exactly right? And then what about the rind?
The rind, you know, a Southern classic that a lot of people aren't aware of, but I'm helping to resuscitate, is pickled watermelon rind. You know, it's a great way of taking off the green part, boiling it in a thick syrup, and then letting it sit for about 4 or 5 days. And it's just delicious, kind of, I don't know, reminiscent of the kind of mango that you have pickled in mango chutneys.
I'm trying to think of where you see pickled watermelon typically, not around 4th of July, but you're saying it's something that you can actually make yourself.
It's something that you can make easily at home. There's this, thankfully, this kind of like movement around canning and pickling and preserving that we're seeing not only in the Bay Area and New York City, the obvious places, but across the country, throughout the South, in the Midwest. And it's been really great to see people taking steps towards preparing foods at home, you know, this kind of bringing the slow food movement into the home kitchen.
Well, I hear in your voice, and you said Tennessee, right? That's where you grew up?
Yes.
Yeah. So is it possible to maintain a certain discipline in the diet and still experience Southern food in its most intense and perfect? I mean, okra is easy, but what about some other things?
Well, you know, I think people have to get past this misconception that Southern food and African-American cuisine is just the deep-fried fatty meats and sugary desserts. That's certainly a part of it, but what I want to do is paint a more complex picture of it. So, you know, taking these traditional staples of Africa, the Caribbean, the Americas, Europe, and kind of reworking, remixing, rewinding to create something that's reminiscent of the original dish, but different and new. So, for instance, instead of cooking green savory,
right,
I have this citrus collards with raisins recipe that gives it a kind of fresh, modern
Ooh,
twist. And you
that
know,
sounds great. Well, explain how do you what do you put what are you putting together for that? I mean, I love the raisins, and you've got collard greens with the raisins.
Yeah, you know, rather than cooking the collard greens for 2 or 3 hours, as was traditionally done in my family, I just give them a quick blanch in salted boiling water, shock them in ice water, and then saute them with a little extra virgin olive oil, some fresh garlic, give them a sprinkle of coarse sea salt, fresh orange juice, Thompson raisins, and it's a really delicious modern twist on this old classic.
That is great. And serve at room temperature? A little warm?
However one likes it. Yeah. Hot, room temperature, it's all good.
People are scared of okra. Help us with that.
Well, you know, okra, it can be scary if cooked too slimily, but or cooked incorrectly where it's too slimy. But one thing that I recommend, and I certainly don't recommend deep frying or frying foods often, but once again, we're talking about the 4th of July. It's a celebration. It's a holiday. You got to give yourself some wiggle room. So I just take the okra, toss it in a little cornmeal, and then give it a quick fry in some extra virgin olive oil, and then I make this lemon thyme vinaigrette that I sprinkle on top.
Quickly before we go, what's on your 4th of July menu this year?
You know, my traditional thing to do on 4th of July when I'm spending time with my family in the South is to introduce these new non-dairy, non-meat versions of old classics and just kind of slip them in to see how they'll take it. So this year I'm going to be bringing my roasted red potato salad with parsley pine nut pesto.
I can
you
barely
know,
say
kind of like as opposed to
parsley pine nut pesto.
You know, the alliteration throws some people off, but I think, you know, rather than the drowned in mayonnaise potato salad that my family's used to having, I'm going to slip this in and see how they like it.
And what's on the playlist this holiday?
Wow, Michael Jackson all the way.
Well, on that, we will direct people to our website where your recipes are on our website for this and other holidays. The idea, the mission, getting to more disciplined notions of eating, but still keeping American traditions alive and well. Brian Terry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.